This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again this morning. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get up. Got to get a getting down there to where the folks are standing around waiting for the Old Trailblazer. And we're happy to be with you folks. Many of you may be hearing us for the first time on some of our new stations that we've gone on. But we welcome you to hear, welcome you to listen, and we'd like to hear from some of you. I'll give you my mailing address quickly so get it out of the way. It's Radio Missions or the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. We're bringing you a series of studies now, have been now for the last two or three weeks, and we're going to be here for quite a while, on the so-called faith chapter of the Bible, 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we'd come down there to looking at the, in that verse it says, I believe it's the 13th verse, "These all died in the faith," talking about the old patriarchs, the old saints of God, "having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." The 14th verse, now listen now, let's read, For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And Abraham said back there that he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The world called old Abraham fool. They did. They call us fools. Folks cry at me and call me old fool. But let's notice that 15th verse, 11th chapter of Hebrews. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." 16th verse says, "But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Now, my friend, this is the key. This is the keystone of the position of every born-again believer, whether you know Christ or not. Our hope, our foundation is Christ. I wish that thing could be driven home to your heart, that born-again believers, I don't care what struggles you have. I tell my folks here, I don't care how many struggles, how many trials you go through on a daily or weekly basis. I don't care what battles you have, for because before God saved you, you were held there by Satan, the flesh, and the world. And when the Lord saves a sinner, he has to deliver you. He has to deliver you. Get it now. Deliver you from the devil, from sin, and from flesh, and from this present evil world. I often take time to stop and ask you, do you know what what salvation means? What the word salvation means? It simply means, or maybe not so simply, a deliverance. Have you ever been delivered from the power of sin, the power of Satan, the power of the world, the power of the flesh? Have you, my friend? But listen, now, that doesn't mean that the struggles, the battles will stop, will cease. It means truly they have only begun, because from now till you reach that celestial city, you're going to be in a fight with Satan, with the flesh, and with the world, and with sin. And you and I, who living in this day and time, what a battle. What a battle it is with the flesh, with sin on it, rampant like it is now. Everywhere you turn, I mentioned in study, and mentioned broadcast in a message last night, that we're facing the world on a greater scale than ever been known. This, everywhere you turn, there's debauchery and adultery and fornication and the sins of the flesh and the sins of lust and all of those things. We face those things where our forefathers and grandfathers and mothers didn't have to do that. First of all, they were isolated back there somewhere in the country like I was when I was a kid. We didn't see that. There wasn't no television. Wasn't no billboards on the highway showing naked women drinking beer and whiskey and all that. There wasn't those things to attract you. But, my friend, listen. You won't ever be free from that till you reach that celestial city. Won't that be a great day? You're going to fight Satan. You're going to fight flesh. You're going to fight the world and his sin. If God gives you 1 hour of respite, thank the Lord for it. But the battle is not over. During Spurgeon's day, Brother Spurgeon back there in England, there was a so-called great Christian appeared on the world scene. And there were many things said about him. He was exalted, magnified. But Brother Spurgeon said, "When I get a chance, when I see him, I want to ask him one question." Time rocked on. Brother Spurgeon was in Menton, France. And he made a special trip to see that man. He walked into his presence, sit down to talk to him. He said, "Sir, I want to just ask you one question. May I?" "Oh, yes, Mr. Spurgeon. Be glad to have you ask me any questions you want. What is it?" looking him straight in the eyes and pointed his finger and said, "Sir, do you ever have any battles with Satan and the flesh and the world and all of the..." "Oh, no, Mr. Spurgeon. Never have any battles with Satan. I never have any battles with the flesh. I've risen above those things." Mr. Spurgeon arose and said, "Goodbye, sir. I'll meet you at the judgment bar of God," and walked out and said to his secretary later, "The man is not saved and knows nothing about the Lord." Now, my friend, that's the truth. If you have no struggles, I wouldn't believe that you had a thing that I wanted. For 24 years, the Lord has, for many years, let's back up just a minute, for many years now, the Lord has saved old Trailblazer. And I've just had the battles one day, one after a time. But listen, we're strangers and pilgrims traveling towards that city which was not made with hand, eternal in the heaven. It's been one struggle after another. When you go out day by day witnessing for the Lord, preaching the word, you're going to have more struggles than the average person, because Satan sits in this little studio with me and does not want me to lay down the law. I'm bringing a message recently on the depravity, a total depravity of man. And we make one statement here in this ministry that I want to reiterate. If you go astray on the total depravity of man, like many of our preachers do today, you'll go astray on every other doctrine. You go astray on every other doctrine of God's word. I'll put that down, and it'll not go away. No, it's been a struggle in my life, one battle after another, never does cease, one disappointment after another. Now, what's this scripture sets forth? "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return." Divine sovereign grace had called these men, these Jews out of Judaism to whom Paul was writing. They had submitted unto the righteousness of God in Christ, but divine judgment had not fallen on Judaism. The temple was still standing, and it didn't fall till A.D. 70. This was written sometimes in A.D. 60, these verses that I'm reading you. These services were still carried on in that temple with a patched-up veil, and that being so, there was a constant appeal made to these Christian Jews to return back to Judaism. "Come on back," they said. "Come on back." And I've had folks say, "Come on back, pastor, down here where you were at one time, and we'll be glad to take you in. What do you have in Christ? What do you have in the so-called Messiah?" He's a false Messiah. That's what they say. Even unto this day that you and I are living in, they don't believe that Christ was Messiah. Hebrews was written to show them what we have in Christ. Now, hold your seat just for a few moments. Old Trailblazer used to say, we're going to jump a creek. This is true regarding the Christian. He's been called back. He's been called out of the world to follow the Lord. You say, make your calling and election sure. Well, we've been called, my friend. But the judgment of God has not fallen upon the world and burned it up, according to 2 Peter 3:13. The judgment is yet pending. Old Protestantism is tottering. She's going down. Judaism went down in A.D. 70. Protestantism is still floundering under the judgment of God. This world, still here. We, God's children, are still in it. And Satan is always seeking to get a born-again believer to return back to the world, isn't he? Isn't that right, my friend? There comes those struggles. There comes those battles. Yonder at your place of business, there in your schoolroom, in your home, on the street, everywhere you turn, you're belittled. You're cried down. You called an old speckled bird. You called an old cook. Every pressure in the world is brought to bear upon you from your friends, from your family, those who have never seen themselves. I mention often here that no one out there, those individuals out there in the modern religious world, they had never seen themselves as sinners. No, that's the reason they don't understand you and me. They've never seen themselves guilty of anything, my friend. But listen. Every pressure in the world is brought to bear upon God's child to return back to those old haunts. Go back to the old friends. They said, we're still here. We'll take you in. But listen, they said, you're a foolish one. You're following a man. You're just crazy. You got your hoodoo and all those things, my friend. But many have left this ministry and gone back to the world over the last 50 years that I know of. Many a young person has not been able to stand the pressure, gone back to the world since I've been here, my friend, because they were not anchored in Christ. You say, how's that happen? They were not anchored in Christ. That's the reason I just don't let up. I can't let up, my friend. One day, if the Lord tarries, the Lord saves you, you'll thank me for these messages. You'll thank me for being true to your soul, because the Bible tells me to preach the gospel, and that's what I do day in and day out. I'm not trying to make a name for this ministry or this church or build a cathedral, silver cathedral, or none of those things. No, we just poor old country boy, poor old sinner saved by grace, exhorting the Lord day by day, holding up Christ as a Savior of men, those who will come to him. He says, come. He says, come. And I'll save you. That's what he basically said. And I get so much pleasure out of bringing these messages and quoting these scriptures. And one that I always like to go to, he says that he would save the ungodly. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. But in one place it said he came to save the ungodly. And that describes most of us, doesn't it? Ungodly. That's right. But the old Trailblazers, happy this morning to be with you. And I asked you, are you anchored in Christ? Are you anchored in the Lord? That's the reason I can't let up. You come to me and say, well, Pastor, you made a statement today, went straight home to my heart. You got on my toes. Folks call me all the time, say, Pastor, you've been on my toes for a week now. But they say, I needed it. I needed it. These folks, if they had been mindful, they could have returned. Just as these men refuse to return, so does a Christian renounce the world and refuse to return to it. How many so-called church members today straddle the fence? How many preachers are going back to the world to pacify the world just because of his popularity? And I know preachers are off and on over the years who have left out of town with their piano player and come back in a month or two or three and take back up the pulpit right where they were, having left a wife and two or three children, now living with a young piano player. I know those things, my friend. And yet, people take them back. But what about their sins? What about their, were they ever saved? No, folks. Well, they just fell away. No, they never were saved. I tell you, folks, you don't fall away. No, sir, you don't fall away. You don't want to fall away. You want to trust the Lord. You want the Lord to keep your heart broken, keep your heart clean and melted before him so that you might worship him. But we see so much of that, and we'll get into it maybe in a later message, how that the world, the religious world now, it's all for a smooth preaching. Isaiah said they told me to preach the smooth thing. Isaiah didn't preach smooth things, did he? No, sir. Neither will the old Trailblazer. I'm going to be true to your soul, as the old fellow said, if it takes a hide off. It's right. That's right. And I praise the Lord for each one of you who tell me the Lord has saved you. I pray for you day and night. But I ask you this. Would you sit down and write me a letter and help me with the broadcast, if you will? We're going on a bunch of those new stations now. I'll tell you more about it later. And but remember my mailing address, if you would. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Go there and look up a bunch of material there on the Old Trailblazer, radio schedules and all of those things. And then I asked you, pray for me. Would you just pray for the Old Trailblazer? Ask your leader on Sunday night or Saturday night when you have prayer meeting. Pray for the Old Trailblazer. Would y'all folks pray for them? We do that. We have folks right here and call here. Say, Pastor, I understand y'all pray for folks. We do. We do, and we call your name out to the Lord. This is the Old Trailblazer. It's time to run out. Goodbye, and God bless you.